morning, Cascadia. You're listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM. Today is Tuesday, October 13th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time, medium on psyops. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm William Delta.
In D.C., the healthcare juggernaut rolls on, and here in Portland, public option advocates gather to say thanks to our elected representatives.
Columbia Riverkeeper shoots and scores one against the Boardman plan.
And the question of growth continues to haunt Cascadia's forested paths and byways. The quote, I remember when all this used to be wildlands.
Portland area weather today, rainy and breezy, windy in the gorge, snow above 5,000 feet in the Cascades, temperatures in the 50s. Tonight, temperatures in the 40s, and the pattern looks about the same for the next few days.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Last week, a federal court in Oregon sided with the Sierra Club, Columbia Riverkeeper, and the Clean Air Advocates by rejecting PGE's attempts to dismiss the coalition's groundbreaking lawsuit against Boardman. Represented by attorneys at the Pacific Environmental Advocacy Center, the Clean Air Coalition now has the green light to pursue the case to stop PGE from emitting pollutants. My guest this morning is Lauren Goldberg, staff attorney with Columbia Riverkeeper. Good morning, Lauren. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Talk a little bit about this lawsuit. Could you just bring our listeners up to speed?
Sure. So last year, a coalition of environmental groups, including the Sierra Club and Columbia Riverkeeper, filed a suit against PGE for serious violations of the Clean Air Act's health and environmental protection standards. And the suit targets over three decades of Clean Air Act violations at the Boardman plant in eastern Oregon. Now, last year in December, PGE filed a motion to dismiss our lawsuit. And the great news that just came out of the federal district court here in Oregon is that PGE's arguments were rejected and the court ruled in favor of our coalition, allowing our suit to move forward. So this is a significant victory for all Oregonians interested in improving our air quality and water quality.
What's PG&E likely to do in response?
Well, the next step is most likely moving to the merits of this lawsuit and getting the facts in front of the judge. And our goal is to have a favorable opinion finding that PGE has, in fact, violated the Clean Air Act, which is exactly what we've alleged.
Thank you so much for that. And if listeners want to find out a little bit more, can you give them information on how they can get involved?
Absolutely. Well, they can visit the Pacific Environmental Advocacy Center's website, Sierra Club's website, or Columbia Riverkeeper's website, which is www.columbiariverkeeper.org.
And hopefully in the future we won't have to look down the Columbia River Gorge and see that brown haze sitting there over...
That's the goal.
over the landscape. Thank you so much. My guest has been Lauren Goldberg, staff attorney with Columbia Riverkeeper. Thanks again, Lauren.
With the clock running down, Portland's trying to figure out how to grow without paying the price. Tomorrow, development industry representatives, farmers, conservation groups, and city and county officials will meet to decide the fate of local residents. Since money trumps common sense every time, and whatever shape the outcome takes will be painted green all over, it's not hard to see the future. At issue are urban and rural reserves, designations that will determine which land is developed and which is reserved for farming, forestry, or natural areas for the next 40 to 50 years. If you want to get in on the fun, it all starts at 9 a.m. at the Doubletree Hotel on Northeast Multnomah.
Portland has received a $4 million grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. That's $4 million to help the Housing Bureau here reduce lead-based paint hazards in Portland homes. 88% of the housing in Multnomah County was built before 1978, when lead paint was still abundantly available. The three-year grant will help fund the Portland Development Commission's Lead Hazards Control Program that provides outreach and education to parents and pediatricians. It will provide lead testing, evaluation of hazards, and even a little financial help for low-income households that are traditionally left out in the rain when it comes to industrial pollutants.
Yesterday, City Hall was a campsite again. Homeless people and low-income housing advocates and activists were out in tents They were urging increased services for the homeless and a suspension of the city's anti-camping ordinance before the weather turns too cold. They've been at City Hall all night for 2 weeks now. Yesterday, they stayed on through the day because it was a holiday and a low-key way to remind working Portland that homeless people still need help. Every night, an estimated 1,600 people sleep outside in Portland, and that number's increasing.
Waste management has a long and sordid history in the annals of American garbage. This time, it's Yamhill County that's locking horns with the titans of trash. A consultant with SEER Engineers says that the county should cut a deal with waste management to phase out its controversial landfill along the banks of the Yamhill River and replace it with an alternative technology that burns, recycles, or turns trash into fuel instead of dumping it. The long-awaited report stops short of recommending that the county deny waste management's request to expand Riverbend landfill, but it does strongly suggest replacing the festering mess against the price we pay for growth.
This is a story about jobs. A decade or so ago, not long in the greater scheme of things, our public intellectuals and social critics worried over the dearth of meaningful work. Depression, broken homes, addiction, and balls-to-the-wall craziness could be easily traced to the work people forced themselves to do in order to stay alive. It's a different world now, and any job, however soul-destroying, is considered balm to body and soul.
Wait till the fallout from this era hits ground zero. We're going to see all kinds of social dysfunction on the way. Recent developments in the healthcare debate gave us reason to celebrate last week, and we did so by launching Wyden Watch. Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley came, albeit a bit cautiously, out. They came out on the side of the public option as far as healthcare coverage is concerned. What that option might eventually look like, of course, is an open question. But tomorrow there will be an opportunity for constituents to come out and thank the senators. There is an event happening sponsored by MoveOn.org and other public option advocacy groups, and my guest today is one of the organizers with MoveOn.org. Welcome, John Vareldis. Thanks so much for joining us on Air Cascadia this morning.
Thank you for having me.
John, talk a little bit about the rally tomorrow and why it's being held.
Sure. The rally is at midday, so 12 noon, out in front of the federal building, 1220 Southwest 3rd. And for additional information, you can go to www.moveon.org and just look up current events, and you'll see that event listed. So basically what we're doing is we've had a long campaign to support healthcare reform and specifically the inclusion of a public option. And we want to finally thank our senators for their support in regards to public option. As you said, they both recently voted positively for the public option. And so this is our chance to go outside their office and tell them thank you. We're going to have a couple folks speak. And we'll also have a letter that we'll deliver to both senators and telling them thank you for that support.
I know that just in the last 24 hours, pharmaceutical lobbies and medical industry lobbyists have thrown an awful lot of weight into the whole discussion. Mm-hmm. They actually came out with a rather spurious study claiming that this was going to, of course, drive costs up for everyone if there were anything remotely approaching a public option. How is that going to affect your work as far as keeping our elected officials on point?
I think we'll have to watch things closely. We will keep up the pressure. So, you know, the fact that we're thanking the senators is just part of our message. We want them to continue to fight for that public option, and we'll look at different strategies moving forward, always trying constructive strategies, but we'll definitely be keeping the pressure on to make sure that all government officials are aware that the majority of people do want a public option.
You want to talk briefly about October 20th, the time to deliver call parties?
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that. What was the question?
There is, on Tuesday, October 20th, there are going to be all across the country call parties.
Ah.
And the name of the event, of course, is Time to Deliver. How about them giving listeners information how they can find out more about this rally, where it is and what time, just so they remember?
Thank you. Yes. So, again, it's tomorrow at 12 o'clock at just outside the Federal Building on Southwest 3rd, downtown Portland. And, again, information can be obtained on the MoveOn.org website under current events.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been John Varelis with MoveOn.org. Thanks again, John.
Three of the five Cubans jailed in the case known as the Cuban Five are to have their sentences reviewed. The sentencing of the five Cuban nationals remains the only in U.S. history to be condemned by the U.N. Human Rights Commission. The five were sentenced to life for spying. They claim they weren't spying, but monitoring right-wing Cuban exile groups, which were planning attacks on Cuba. The men were convicted in 2001 in southern Florida and are currently serving their sentences in federal prisons across the U.S. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, October 13, 2009. Engineering is Janet Anderson. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
And you're listening to All Natural, Free Range, non-syndicated KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, KBOO.fm on the web. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints, 40 years since the occupation of Alcatraz, and John Ross on union struggles in Mexico.
Thanks for listening and have a good day. And don't forget, call that number, 503-232-8818.